Your Bibles in hand now, please, and turn to the Old Testament scriptures and to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15, and reading from verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer." And particularly that last phrase, "I am the Lord, your healer." It is that over the past week, there's been exciting news, but also frightening news from the world of medicine. It is that the exciting news has been in terms of a newly discovered part of the human immune system. And it is that it seems the medics tell us that they found an immune cell that really is typified as a T cell inside the blood of every single human being. And it seems that really it acts like a mini scanner, that it's able to assess what is in the body and whether it is that what it finds within the body is a threat that needs to be eliminated. And the significance of this is that they're saying that they're hoping that eventually that this will provide a sort of catch-all cure for the various cancers that it is that people end up having. And so it is that cancer, to a greater degree or extent, might be cured, and perhaps sooner than we perhaps think. But the frightening aspect in terms of what we've heard from the world of medicine is with regard to a virus that it seems was previously unknown to science. It's causing severe lung disease, and it is that we know that this virus has been given the name of the coronavirus, and we know of the effect that this is having and how it seems to be spreading quickly throughout most of the world at this time. And along with that news that is exciting and that news that is frightening, there's also in recent years been a re-emergence of diseases that it was hoped that were almost at the point of eradication. And one of the reasons for this has been the rise of those who are given the title of anti-vaxxers. And it is therefore on the basis of the influence of anti-vaxxers that there's been a re-emergence of measles and mumps and whooping cough and chicken pox. And if it is that you've ever seen anybody with one of these diseases, or you yourself can remember even back to your childhood when it is that you had the chicken pox or the mumps or whooping cough or whatever, you'll know just how nasty it is that these things can be. So whether it is that the news from the world of medicine is good news or bad news, whether it's exciting or frightening news, it is that we're constantly being reminded of the fact of diseases, of illness and sickness that men and women take from time to time. And it is also that we're being reminded of the need for healing. And the need for healing is something that is constant in the world in which we live. And for us here today as a congregation, perhaps in our own health and strength recently, but particularly with regard to those who are loved ones and belong to our family, it is that we're thankful for the benefits of modern medicine and how even through the common grace of God, that the benefits of modern medicine are able to be applied to those whom we have a love for. And it is that though once in ill health, it is that their strength came back. And it is that they were cured of whatever sickness or disease that they had. And while it is that this characterizes modern medicine, there's also something else that characterizes modern medicine. And it is, we can think of the pharmaceutical industry, and it seems that it's a $1 billion business, and there seems to be all sorts of subterfuge with regard even to that industry itself. And then it is that we can think of those who perhaps spend hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars to maintain and promote their good health. It is that you've only got to go to one of the malls and you find the good health store. And it is that the shelves are absolutely creaking with pills and potions of one sort or another. And it itself is a multi-million dollar business that people would spend their discretionary funds, as it were, on seeking to promote good health of one sort or another. And think of it in terms even of surgeons themselves. I think probably that some of the most rich and the most wealthy of surgeons are the plastic surgeons, and particularly if it is that you have your practice in Hollywood, it is that there are boob enlargements, bum implants, and so many things like this, nose jobs of one sort or another. And it is that these individuals are absolutely raking in dollar after dollar because of the concerns that men and women have about their appearance, about their physicality, and even about illness itself. And having tried so hard and struggled in so many ways, it is that it's good to know that the Scripture teaches us that primarily what is of most concern and should be of most concern to us is not just our physical being, not just our physical health, but the thing that should be of utmost priority in our lives is whether it is that our souls are healthy, whether it is that our souls know of the balm of Gilead through the cross of Jesus Christ being applied to them daily. And it is, therefore, that it's important for us, I think, to remember how it is that God reveals himself, and even in times past to his ancient people, and the way in which it is that he revealed himself here in this passage. And it is that he says to his grumbling people, to his disrespectful people, it is that he says to them, I want you to know that I am the Lord. I am the covenant-keeping God. I am the one without beginning and without end. And on that basis, it is that I am the Lord your healer. And the reason that I've picked this text for today is that over the past number of weeks, that within our own number, we've been having to deal with illness of one sort or another, and it's something that came to mind this past week, this verse itself. And I believe that the Lord was leading me to preach on this text today, that the Lord himself is our healer. Now, it is that God reveals himself in this little, in perhaps seemingly strange section of the Old Testament. It is that after four centuries, the children of Israel have been delivered out of the bondage of Egypt by the Lord's mighty and outstretched hand, and thinks of the ways in which it is that God accomplished this. They'd seen plagues devastate the greatest nation and civilization on the earth at that time. They had the exhilarating experience of passing through the Red Sea in a dry path, while it is that the water stood firm as walls on either side. You can just imagine something of the awe and wonder that was theirs at that time. It is that also they had watched Pharaoh's elite troops, his crack troops of horsemen and chariots drown, and it is that the enemies who had terrorized them and tortured them for four centuries, it is that they were now defeated. And they came to the realization that their bondage in Egypt was over, that their former masters were powerless now to enslave them, and they had no longer any reason to fear their former masters or obey them. And in some ways, what it is that they experienced, and even as Paul tells us, that what happened in the Old Testament was given to teach us here in New Testament times, that it is that what we have here is a picture of what it is that God has done for our souls, and through the application of the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it is that we are freed from the bondage that was ours to sin, and indeed to our old master, Satan himself. And yet, the children of Israel, within 72 hours, they'd forgotten the goodness of God, and they'd failed to remember his great deliverance of them in Egypt. And what was the result? Grumbling. It is that they were grumbling at Moses. They refused to believe that God, as he had provided for them and delivered them, that he could do so in the coming days. Even if after they had witnessed these wonderful acts of God's power and mercy and grace. And it is that Moses then, you can sense something of frustration that was his, that he cries out to the Lord. And it is that the Lord provides again and answers prayer. You see, it is they should have at this point have been saying, look at what God has already done for us. Surely it is that as he's done this in the past for us, then it is that he'll do much more for us in the coming days. And if it is that we are thirsty, if it is that we are hungry, if it is that we need provision of one sort or another, it is that he will provide for us, and therefore it is that we'll keep trusting him. But that's not what they did. They grumbled, and it was a habit that he typified them through the days of their wilderness wanderings. And so it is that as God responds to what Moses says, God tells them what he'll do for them. It is that you read, there the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, and he said, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. Now, in the original text, it reads like this. I am Yahweh Rapha. I am Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals you. And that term, Rapha, it literally means to mend, to cure, to repair, to make whole. And it is that God gives this revelation of himself and this promise to his ancient people, but I think it includes principles that apply to us here today, even millennia afterwards. What's the first thing that we find here in verse 26? First thing, I think, is a health principle. It's a health principle, and it's very practical, and it's something that all of us can put into practice. And it is that I think the health principle in verse 26 can really be summed up in this one sentence, and it's this: that emotional and spiritual health for God's people are byproducts of obedience. Emotional and spiritual health for God's people are byproducts of obedience. That the health that is yours and mine spiritually and physically is related to obedience, both spiritually, physically, and indeed emotionally. You see, if it is that you obey the command not to covet, you'll have a healthy attitude towards relationships and possessions. It is that you'll be grateful for what it is that God has given you, whether much or little, and it is that you will be immune to the spirit of discontent and grumbling. And that's something that we as God's people need to take on board seriously. For so often it is that what you find within congregations is an undercurrent of a grumbling and discontentment, and that because it is that we're coveting in one way or another. And when it is that that's the reality within a group of God's people, it's like acid on our emotions, and it begins to burn and it begins to eat us up. What about commands against stealing? It is that we'll have a healthy respect and self-respect, a good name, even no criminal record. What about if in terms of honoring our parents, instead of rebelling against our parents, it is that we'll protect our family relationships? And we see that the truth of that in our world today. And it is that there are innumerable healthy benefits to having a clear conscience. How many people this morning, whether in church or out of church, and it is that their lives are wrecked, and the reason that their lives are wrecked is because they have a guilty conscience, and it is that that guilty conscience keeps pulling them down. And here it is that you have this health principle that God gives to his people, and it is that he's challenging them, that he's testing them, and it is that he's wanting them to experience him in a very tangible way. And he's saying to them, and specifically saying to them, I'll bless you with health. I'll bless you with health spiritual, health physical, health emotional, if it is that you obey my commands. And we see that in the world today. Why is there so much ill health? Well, certainly because of bugs or one sort or another, but particularly in other areas, and it's because of this rebellious spirit that characterizes men and women. So there's the health principle. Second thing that I think we find here is not just a health principle, but it is that we find a healing promise. A health principle followed by a healing promise. And it is in terms of the new name that God reveals concerning himself, Yahweh Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. Now, Jehovah wasn't a new name. Yahweh wasn't a new name. It is that it literally means the existent one, the one without beginning and end, the great I am who I am. But it's the Rapha part that's the new part. And Rapha literally means to heal. And so God let the Israelites know at this point in the midst of their grumbling and discontent that it is that he is the Lord who is able to heal. Now, what God says is much stronger than what it is that we have in our English translation. It's not so much that he says, I am the God who heals, but literally what it is that God is saying to his people and to us today is this: healing is what I am. As Yahweh, as the Eternal One, healing is what I am. He's saying, I heal, and at that moment, that was a good thing for the Israelites, for they were in need of healing. See, I think the picture that's given to us here, the bitter taste in the water, that really it was symbolizing as well what was polluting the hearts of the children of Israel. Often it is that the physical that we find in the Bible is a type of the spiritual. We go to the New Testament, and it is that the leprosy that we read of so often, that it's really pointing to the leprosy of sin within the lives of men and women. And it is that God is saying there was a greater problem for the nation of Israel than just their physical thirst. They were harboring bitterness, and on that basis, they needed a healing. Bitterness was corrupting them from within. It was hindering their trust in terms of their walk with God. And it is that that bitterness would spread like wildfire, and it would corrupt them physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And here you have Yahweh Rapha, and he's tenderly showing his people that he is the one who is the healer of all. And he is the one who is able to heal bitterness of heart and of soul. It is that he's reminding them that bitterness of heart and mind is the evidence of a sick heart that has no trust or confidence in God. That bitterness is always an impediment to the healing of the Lord, and it's bitterness that clogs up our hearts from loving and serving him, and therefore loving and serving one another. And it's bitterness that opens up the floodgates to sickness, physical and disease of the body, emotions, mind, and the soul. Have you ever met a bitter person? A person who's perhaps has been consumed by bitterness for years. And often the fact of bitterness expresses itself in an ugly manner. But thankfully, God is a God who heals and who longs to heal them. And you see, the application is this. We're more often like the Israelites than we'd like to admit. We think, well, if we'd seen these wonderful miracles, the parting of the Red Sea and all these things, we would never have been like them. Sorry. I know in my life that's not true. And you know in your life that's not true. And yet, that being the case, it is that God is saying to us, even in the midst of whatever it is that ails you physically, spiritually, whatever illness you're having to deal with, I want you to know that healing is an integral part of who I am, and it is able to be the experience of every child of God. Why? Because he is Yahweh Rapha. He is the God who has entered into covenant with his people and who shall never break that covenant. And it is that in that covenantal relationship with us, he is our healer, he is our restorer, he is our mender, he is our repairer. He is the one who is able to make us whole. And the thing is, this is promised healing. He's saying, look, healing with me, it's not an occasional thing when it is that I feel like doing it, but healing is who and what I am. And it is that the touch of the Master's hands in our lives brings healing. See, sometimes it is that I think that we have so many negative perceptions of God, even though it is that we try and fight against them. But it is that Yahweh Rapha is saying to us today, I am a God of health, not sickness. I am a God of wholeness and not disease. I am a God of restoration and not destruction. I am a God who mends and repairs and who doesn't tear apart, and a God of life and not death. And think of how the scripture reveals this. He is the God of all healing, and it is that he does this caringly. Listen to Jeremiah 13 and 17. For I will restore health to you, and your wounds I will heal, declares the Lord, because they have called you an outcast. It is Zion for whom no one cares. You may have bitterness and disappointment against family today or friends, because it is that you feel they've forsaken you, or it is that they've labeled you an outcast. You may be here today as an adult, but there's bitterness that has taken root in your life as a child. And it is that you felt as a child that no one cared about you, and even now as an adult that no one cares about you, and you've been cast aside as worthless or as having no value. You may have deep wounds in your heart today from people and even Christian brothers and sisters who betrayed you, who let you down, who have left a long trail of bitterness and unforgiveness in your soul. And people may well, wherever it is in the church or at work, have called you an outcast, have said to you that you're useless, that you're not wanted, that you're valueless and you're hopeless. But that's not what God says. That's not what God thinks. That's not what God believes. He's saying, I am Yahweh Rapha, and I will restore your health and mend your heart. It is that he's the God who is able to offer and bring about total healing and restoration, mental, physical, whatever it may be. And it is that as he heals caringly, it is that he is able to heal completely. He's got the cure for every single sickness, disease, and infirmity that ever has and ever will inflict the human body, mind, and soul. That's why it was that we sang Psalm 103, different version or a different one to what we'll sing, God willing, next week at the end of the communion. But it is that in Psalm 103, verse 3, we sing this, but do we really believe it? He forgives your sins, everyone. He heals your diseases, everyone. Let's go to the New Testament, Matthew 4 and 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and disease among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And what did he do? He healed them. Yahweh, Rapha, I am the Lord who heals. And if there's anything that will make us appear Christ-like, as we would present the good news of Christ, it will be when it is that with the help of Yahweh Rapha that we promote healing, not just physical healing, but spiritual healing, healing in families that are dysfunctional, healing in marriages that perhaps are on their last legs. That's part and parcel of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And if he heals caringly and completely, it is that he heals comprehensively. You go back in Exodus 23 to verse 25, and this is what you read. You must serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will remove sickness from your midst. No woman will miscarry her young or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. And here is God reminding us of the comprehensive nature of the healing that is available to us. And we see that in and through Christ. Some of you may be saying, well, this is all physical. But think of what Jesus himself said when it is that they started questioning him. And he said, what is it easier to do, to say to someone your sins are forgiven or to say take up your bed and walk? And in that miracle, Jesus was reminding us that while it is that physical illness and sickness is bad, what is even worse is spiritual sickness and illness, and a soul that is dead in trespasses and sins. And that's the problem that you have to consider today. Are you well spiritually, or are you sick spiritually? If it is that you know not Christ today, then you are desperately ill. Even though it is that you may feel physically healthy, spiritually, you're desperately ill. God says, I can heal you. And the thing is, not only does he heal caringly and completely and comprehensively, but he heals carefully. Listen to Jeremiah 17 and 14. Heal me, O Yahweh, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Now, a more literal, almost, you might say, a contemporary English translation would be, God, pick up the pieces. God, put me back together again. You are my praise. Pick up the pieces. How many people today, their lives, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, are shattered? You ever just, before Christmas, I thought I would do a good turn, and I was vacuuming in the front room. And what I didn't notice was that the electrical lead from the vacuum, that I was dragging it across some ornaments that were fairly expensive. Let me put it like that. Not just expensive financially, but expensive in terms of emotional attachment. So I'm there vacuuming away thinking, Alison will be pleased with me. Next thing, crash. And here it is, these ornaments. The wire had literally just swept them off the top of the table. And there they were in pieces. So very quickly I got the super glue out. And I started trying to piece them together. And I thought they looked good, but the problem was some of the pieces I couldn't find. Don't know what happened to them. So with the best will in the world, even as I tried to put the pieces back together, there were still bits missing. Can you imagine if God was like that? When it is that sin literally tears us apart and breaks us into little pieces. That's why it is that I read in Mark 5. There's a man, and it is that his life has been torn to pieces. He's been broken in spirit, body, and soul. And what happens? Jesus comes, and the Lord, who is healing, puts him back together. And puts them back together in such a way that Mark tells us that when the townspeople came and saw him, what did they find? They found this one who was naked, who had lived amongst the tombs, who they couldn't even control by chains. He broke them, the demonic strength that was his, crying out 24/7 every day. What did they find? This man sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Christ had taken him and carefully taken up the pieces and put him back together again. And then think of Psalm 147, verse 3. He is the healer of the brokenhearted. He is the one who bandages their wounds. The word broken literally means to be wrecked, to be crushed, to be ruptured, to be shattered, to be maimed. And the human heart is the most fragile in a sense, and often the most susceptible to the ravages of sickness and disease. And think of how intimately the Lord deals with us. Psalm 34 and 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He's close to you, even in the midst of your brokenness, even in the midst of what it is that ails you, because it is that you have this healing promise. You've got this health principle, you've got this healing promise, and thirdly, you've got this healing power. We'll deal with this quickly. Notice in this section from verse 22 that the instrument that God used to heal the bitter waters was a piece of wood. Now, we might have expected salt, as Elisha was to use hundreds of years later. Or we might have expected just the spoken word. But instead, God directs Moses to throw a piece of wood into the water and to heal the water of its bitter taste. Why? Because I believe that that piece of wood and the Lord who reveals himself as the healer or the one who is healing, that it points to a piece of wood that was to be found on the city's garbage heap centuries later, and where it is that the God-man was found hanging and his blood being shed to heal our souls. You see, the cross is the only way, friends, that bitter lives, broken hearts and minds, the cross is the only way that it is that healing can be found. And God, like the good surgeon, has multiple instruments. He doesn't just heal with one instrument. He heals with his word. Have you known of that healing power in the word of God today? Not only does he heal by his word, but it is that he heals us by the Holy Spirit, as the Spirit himself continually sanctifies us. What about the healing power of praise? That's why it's important that you come to church on the Lord's Day, because it is that we read in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. This is God's word, and you say, but how can that heal me? I'm filled with anxiety. My future is uncertain. I've got no job. There's terminal illness in my family. My children have turned away from the Lord. They're estranged from me, and I'm in deep grief because of the loss of someone that I loved. The healing word from the Lord is this: rejoice in me always. Why? Because God is saying, in the midst of your diseased life, I am the only unchanging constant in your life. When everything else is gone, family, friends, money, position, I am the one who remains. And I am the one who heals you. I really am. And it is that we need to remember this. And finally, it is that God gives to us, as he heals us, a new self-image in Christ. In other words, God gives us a healthy view of ourselves. I was brought up in a tradition, and I could see it even amongst a group of people within a nation. And one of the things that was almost constantly despised was to have a good self-image of yourself. And a good self-image of yourself, particularly if you were a believer. That's so wrong. That really is. Because it is that God tells us that we are a royal priesthood in Christ. We are royalty. That's what we are. See, your emotions can tell us, and people can have their emotions begin to tell us, I don't think anyone has ever loved me, ever really loved me, so something in me must be unlovable. I feel like a loser, and I don't feel I'm a good Christian, and I don't feel God's love. And how many Christian men and women and young people today, that's the self-image that they have. Instead of revealing to the world and to others that in Christ, in the Lord who is healing, that they are raised to new life in Christ, and that they are called to be salt, that they are called to be light, and they are called to bring healing to the nations through the gospel of Jesus Christ. How is it then with us today? I don't know if you're going to have to see your doctor, your GP this week, or within the next month. But if it is the case that you have to, remember what we were considering today and thank the Lord that if you are a believer today, that the Lord has revealed himself to you and that the Lord has brought healing, wonderful healing, to your heart and your mind and soul. Amen. Let's stand to pray.